Anjan so dan so je so na ba so jo ba do da ne da da ge je je de go so na je do ba do ba so sanjan so dan so je so na ba so jo ba do da ne da da ge je je de go so na je do ba do ba so sanjan so dan so je so na ba
So it is said in one sutra that the merit of seeing a representation of the Buddha, whether it is a statue or a drawing of the Buddha, such a merit seeing any representations of the Buddha, be it an image or a drawing, or even just hearing the word, you know, Buddha, the merit, this merit exceeds the merit of making charity and offering the divine garments, the garments of the celestial beings. For how long? For millions of eons.
Oh, today is Sunday. That today, ma, this is the Gudong Tamu Jawams.
So if one acquires so much merit just by hearing the word Buddha, just by seeing any representations of the Buddha, be it the form of a statue or a drawing, then it goes without saying that those who out of devotion to Buddha, if they were to put their hands together in to pay homage to Buddha, and if they were to recite the praises of the Buddha, or if they were to make offerings to the Buddha, of course it goes without saying that they will acquire even more merit. So even just from this quotation in the sutra, you can understand the benefit you get from coming to the center, and coming for class. So you should never think that coming here is a waste of time, because just by coming to the center or for class, we come into contact with numerous representations of the Buddha's exalted body, speech, and mind, and all these holy images. When we come to class, we hear the Buddha's teachings. Okay, so imagine how much merit we accumulate by seeing the holy objects, the merit, the virtue that we create by hearing the Buddha's teachings. And by the way, when we hear the Buddha's teachings, then we leave positive imprints on our mental continuum. Yeah? And then, whenever we are here at the center, we usually do prayers, such as the prayers we do before class, and that involves going for refuge and also generating the bodhicitta motivation. So whenever we do that, we get immeasurable benefit, and we also make offerings and so forth to the Buddha, isn't it? Yeah. So we have to understand, the benefit that we get just by stepping into the center. We have to understand these are all the benefits we get, So by keeping in mind these benefits, so as much as possible, we should continue to come to the center and to continue your studies, your learning.
Oh, tindesine. Chaza tati so so jawa sakuya badi mosha ma chikwa timena. Yanko tuzu thala ro tinde yanko ha yungro wa taga na shin ani zinda yungai na ta thomar pa kulong chuen do na ta tarin zinda chugo chozo la chugo is kulong chua ba samki ta chuen yang ka chugo is kulong chua je ani kumbare re pa ba samji yang ani sonong sopa do me ba sa hai o tinai mare chaza tindzo yang.
So therefore we have to realize for ourselves the benefit we all get by coming to the center. Just by coming to the center, we get all these benefits. So we have to realize ourselves, because we're not mindful of these facts, then perhaps it's possible that what am I doing here? I'm wasting my time, You may get that kind of feeling, So should never entertain those thoughts, isn't it, And every time before you come to class, you should set your motivation as you are about to step, take your first step towards the center from wherever you are, So you should set this motivation. I'm going to the center to learn the Dharma, to learn about the Buddha's teachings. Yeah. So if you set off on your journey with that motivation, You already accumulate the virtue, and actually with each and every single step that you take, towards on your journey towards the center, your merit actually commensurate, with each and every single step that you take, So, yeah, just what the Buddha has mentioned, isn't it, in the sutras, that just the benefits of just seeing these various holy objects, the benefits that we get, from coming into contact with the representations of the Buddha's exalted body, exalted speech, and exalted mind. So even from this point of view, we have to remember all the benefits that we get. So even from just this point of view, as much as possible, we should remind ourselves, we definitely must come here. I like to do it. Re-admission. So, if just seeing the representations of the Buddha can have so much benefit, so it's said by the Buddha, isn't it? So if you think about it, then it goes without saying that if you hear what the Buddha has taught, if you listen to the Buddha's teachings, if you study it, if you learn it, if you think about it, I think you really don't have to talk about the benefits here. And how much more benefit, merit, virtue we can get out of from our learning. And isn't it? So the whole point of accumulating merit and virtue is so that we can develop the experiences and the realizations of the path, all those things that I mentioned in the teachings, isn't it? And there's really no better way to develop these positive experiences and realizations in our minds. There's no better way than learning the Buddha's teachings, finding out what the Buddha's teachings are, learning it, studying it. So I mentioned this before. So for our purpose here, we are here to learn and to study. So therefore, it becomes important for you to read the text here, the course material. Whether you understand exactly what you're reading or not, it doesn't matter. You should read the course text here. So of course, if you can understand what you're reading, that is even better. The point here is, even just by reading the text, even if you are bokyo, definitely there's merit, there's benefit. Definitely, you think about it, definitely there's virtue. I mean, all of you accept, right, that it's a very good thing to recite all these various sutras, right? I mean, liam jie, wow, Golden Light Sutra, I don't know what have you. As if you know what you're reading, but anyway. But point is, you accept that by reading that, you come, you do all these recitations, you accept that you have merit, isn't it? That's why you come, isn't it? That's why you recite those sutras. So if that's the case, then the benefit that we get from reading our course material, our course text, even if there's no greater merit than reciting a sutra, at least you will not get less merit. In fact, actually, you may get more, actually. You know, so because, I mean, what we are dealing here, what we're studying is the Buddha's teachings, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. So if that's the case, then therefore we have to read the course of material, yeah, the text, yeah.
So the main
thing that we as an individual we have to do is that we have to basically try our best and effort, basically. So from one's own side, you know, you have to read, and then on that basis, then you think about it, you know, think about what you've read, you know, reflect, and then discuss, and so forth. Yeah. So in order to learn something, you know, many factors have to come together. Yeah. Okay. So we have to read, think about what we've read, analyze, and then discuss, and so forth. Yeah. So in essence, basically, we need some effort as much as possible. So please
do your best, okay?
So we've finished with the section on refuge. Yeah. I don't think there's anything to say. So if you have any questions on the topic of refuge, you may raise it up now. Just one question.
Refuge from the mic, I think.
You know, whenever I ask you, you know, whenever I give you an opportunity to ask questions, I'm not asking you to think of a question here, you know, right now. I'm giving you the opportunity to ask, you know, whatever questions you have really thought about before coming to class. Yeah. Because if you have thought about the material, and of course if you have questions, then you know you're always ready to ask the question, isn't it? Yeah. So it's not so much about sitting here and thinking of a question.
Yeah.
So of course, in order to be able to do that, so you must get into this habit of thinking about stuff, you know, continuously, you know, over time, you know, thinking about stuff. Because only when you think about stuff, only then you have doubts, yeah. You have questions, oh, why is it like this? Why is it not like that? And then, you know, then you have qualms, and then you raise it up. And then when you raise it up, when you raise the qualms, you ask the question, and then there's, and then through discussion and through Q&A, you know, then that's how your qualms and your doubts are eliminated. In fact, that's one of the best ways. Who's watching? Watching, yeah? Remember the question Guaxing asked? Last, you know, there's one of the, in fact, the first benefit of taking refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha is that you are included literally among the ranks of the Buddhists. Basically, you are considered to be a Buddhist, yeah? How is that a benefit, you know, so to speak, isn't it? I mean, you become a Buddhist, you're a Buddhist, I mean, what's the benefit about being listing, you know, that it as a benefit, basically, yeah. Don't really have an answer, but I guess it's like, you know, going to a restaurant and getting those VIP cards, you know. Maybe you go to a restaurant, you spend a certain amount of money, you know, I mean, blah, 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 then they give you this card, you know, and it entitles you to this and that. You know. So I guess when you get a card, I mean, it only benefits you, isn't it? Yeah.
Or does it consider a benefit going to the restaurant or not? When you get the membership card, does the benefit going to a restaurant? No? So maybe something like that. Refuge?
He's saying it's the best refuge. Though. Buddha Dharma Sangha as an object of refuge is the best and the highest, yeah. But in terms of the objects, yes, but in terms of the attitude, no, in which you go for refuge, again, there are different levels, yeah. So, you know, there is the refuge of the person of small capacity, like what I mentioned the other day, refuge of a person of medium capacity, and the refuge of a person of a great capacity. Yeah. So don't exactly get what you're trying to imply through the question.
Sorry, can Rinpoche, can I just clarify whether in terms of that question asked by Guaching about being counted among Buddhists, so it seems to me when I read the Lamrim Chemo, the explanation, is it to say that actually you're only counted among the class of Buddhists if you are someone who really knows how to take refuge and does not give up refuge in the ways that was explained in the text? So only then would you be counted among the class of Buddhists. Is it more specific to explain like that?
So the captain, no way, na. The number of two hours.
So, what's your exact question is what?
No, because you explained just now being counted in the class of Buddhists is something like the example of you have a card and you know that card says that you're a Buddhist. But I'm just trying to understand whether it's maybe more specific than that, is that you can only call yourself a Buddhist if you really hold refuge in your mind, and not just in name, you know, in practice. So I'm just trying to clarify, because there was an explanation given in the Lamrim Chemo that seemed to say that. So I'm just trying to ask if there's a more specific way of understanding, you know, you're counted among Buddhists. But when you say among Buddhists, is someone who is really holding refuge. It's not someone who is just in name.
I don't get this too. That's what the tiro, the number cinema centero, the good sickam do number six domes and number sigmar. That's on the jam do namtaji kilo kokudo, jam do namtaji kilo in a number. Number yes, and
we want to give us it.
So there's only one way
of becoming a Buddhist. A real Buddhist. There isn't such a thing as a real Buddhist or fake Buddhist or nominal Buddhist or what have you. I mean, whatever you call it. The point is, people can call themselves whatever. People can call themselves Buddhist, or you can call someone a Buddhist. It doesn't make them a Buddhist. But a real, not real Buddhist, a Buddhist is one who goes for refuge. And the way of going for refuge, the three jewels, is only one way. You must possess the causes of refuge in your mind. So there's no other way out, basically. Yeah. So if you have those causes of refuge in your mind, if you go for refuge to the Buddha Dharma Sangha, then you are included amongst the ranks of Buddhists. Otherwise, you can call yourself a Buddhist, but you are still, by definition, not a Buddhist.
Can I ask another part of this theme? Mm. There was a part before that, or actually the one that is included in Lama Tsongkhapa says the benefits of taking refuge. Then there's the first set of four, and then after that there's the second set of four. So
those things that are not mentioned in the middle length lambrim, so it's only in the lambrim chemo, so we dispense with that because it's not in the in the middle length.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, last one. Yeah. There's now nobody want to ask them so many questions. Huh?
This is a very silly question, I think, because but
silly question
because I don't
understand. Serious?
I don't understand, so I ask you. No, you know, the text says, right, you go for refuge three times a day and three times at night, right? Does refuge three times a day and night means you recite the I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, that one? Is it three times you read and then in the morning and then three times at night you read?
Yes.
Just like that?
Mm.
So then I got more confused, right? Just now, Gyumela says, the only way to go for refuge is to have the cause of refuge. What are the cause of refuge?
The two causes that we studied, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, the other shot. That was in it. That joy and the jealous.
So next on page 78, go to the section on karma. Okay, so developing the faith of conviction in karma and its results. Yeah. So that this section on karma is broken into three parts, A, B, and C. Yeah. So reflecting on karma and its effects in general, reflecting on karma and its effects in detail, and then how you engage in virtue and turn away from non-virtue after you have reflected on karma and its effects in general and in detail. Okay, so the section on karma is, it will be discussed in these three ways. Yeah. So the first one, reflecting on karma and its effects in general. Okay? So, so the first one, there are the four general characteristics of karma. Yeah. Okay? So, on the top of page 79, number one, the certainty of karma, or karma is definite, yeah. Number two, the magnification of karma. Number three, not experiencing the effects of actions that you did not do. And number four, the actions you have done do not perish.
Okay, 라 미제와네 동아공 데레든도 탐제도 게레든도 탐제도 자와도 자와도 제소스.
Okay, the first general characteristic of karma is that it is certain, the certainty of karma. And with respect to that, there's a quotation from the Nagarjuna's precious garden. From non-virtues come all sufferings, and likewise all the miserable realms. From virtues come all the happy realms and joy, and the joys in all rebirths.
어떻게네? 다던다 레냐바 쓰는 던다 이니 가르스나 땅아저기라 아니지다. 대화 충중 간대 지중바이나. 다던다 이니 소 계획 내게 또 시청하랬어. 그러고 근데 소 미계획 내라 때네 안디오 대화 중에서 자원이는 야 말했어. 근데 직세 아니 다가나시 먼저 길었다 동어 친구 충중 간대 지용바이나요. 소 미계획 내라 때네 형아. 계획 내라 때네 대우 동어 충중이네 이중하여 말했어.
Okay. So all the pleasures, all the happiness that we experience in our minds, in our mental continuum, in our very being, starting from the smallest, slightest pleasure, all of these are happiness and pleasures are the result of virtue. It is impossible for them to arise from non-virtue. Then all the taiji, unhappiness, problems, suffering that we experience in our mental continuum, starting from the smallest unhappiness and suffering, all of these arise only from non-virtue. So this is how karma is certain, how it is definite in this way. All the happiness and suffering that we experience, they do not arise from without a cause. All the happiness and suffering that we experience arise from causes. All the happiness and suffering that we experience are not created by someone out there. Yeah. The happiness and the suffering that we experience do not arise from discordant causes. The happiness and the suffering that we experience can only arise from concordant causes. Okay? That means happiness can only arise from virtue. Yeah? From the concordant cause of virtue comes the concordant result, happiness, something good. From the concordant cause of non-virtue comes the concordant result, suffering, which is similar.
Okay. 진대 용구여래. 다 용화 나신 다가 당겨 삼아 땅체 진대가 아니지 테라 이식이 또 대원에 다가 나신 숨바 나신 다 내밀어 와래서 나 저 예민게 간데 삼아 나신 저 진대 대도 나서 중요한 진대라 다 다 삼아 땅체 다 숨바 나신 대바르스 다 이신이야 거야 다 돈다
티니사래. So through thinking about this, we have to develop this conviction in that this is the case, you know, that of all the whole variety of experiences that we undergo in life, you know, both happiness and suffering, all of them can only arise from their own causes, yeah, okay? So from virtue comes happiness, from non-virtue comes suffering, you know? So by thinking about it, then we have to arrive at this conclusion, at this and conviction that this is the case.
Yeah. So this
is developing this conviction and that in karma, that you know in terms of how actions, certain actions will lead to certain results, and this conviction, it's called the correct worldly view, yeah, the correct, the authentic worldly view. Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about the correct view, yeah, so sometimes correct view refers to this correct view and conviction in the workings of karma, in that karma is definite in this case,
yeah.
So if we manage to develop this correct worldly view, which refers to this conviction in karma, then we would have the basis, you know, for all wholesome activities, for virtue, for us to be able to engage in virtue. And with this faith of conviction in karma, then we will establish, you know, the very foundations, you know, for all the happiness and all the one good things, you know, to come in the future. Yeah. So we need to develop an understanding of the certainty of karma, and that from virtue, you know, comes happiness, from non-virtue comes suffering. We need to develop a decisive conclusion about this in our hearts, and that is the case. Now, that is the case. So this is a faith, conviction, and karma. So with this faith of conviction, then we have to. Then what is the conclusion? If you develop this faith of conviction, the conclusion then will be that I must engage in virtue, and I must abandon non-virtue.
So
we as individuals have to come to that decision in our minds. Yeah, it's a decision. Yeah, you know, with this way for conviction in karma, the decision is that, and I must engage in virtue, accumulate virtue, engage in virtue, positive actions, and I must abandon our non-virtue. Yeah. Okay, the next general characteristic of karma is that the karma increases. So the magnification of karma. So okay, so the next, the magnification of karma, how karma increases. Yeah. So there's a quotation from the, I think it's called the Dhammapada, yeah, or the collection of verses. So I'll read from another translation. Like a poison that has been ingested, the commission of even a small sin creates in your lives hereafter great fear and a terrible downfall. So here, by way of example, here we see how karma increases. Yeah. So even if you just ingest a little bit of poison, yeah. Yeah, even if it's a very small amount of poison, but once it gets into your system, it spreads, you know, and then it will gradually kill us, yeah, isn't it? Causes us a lot of problems, suffering, and eventually it will kill us, yeah, isn't it? So likewise here, even if we commit a small non-virtue, but when it increases, it will lead to our downfall, yeah. This is you know, here he's using an analogy of an external phenomenon. Yeah, how, you know, we see in the external world, you know, things do magnify, things do increase. Yeah, and of all the external examples, I guess, you know, this example of probably not going to find a better example than poison. You know, yeah, you know, ingesting poison, and even a small amount of poison can actually lead to disaster and actually kill someone, isn't it? Yeah. But you know, if you were to compare how external phenomena magnify and compare that to how, you know, how the workings of karma are, actually there's no comparison. It is said that, you know, the workings of karma, which is inside of us, you know, is even more, is even greater, you know, the increase, you know, in the effects, you know, of an action much greater than any external phenomena. Yeah.
Oh, doctrine. Then, ma, anis sonam chungo chebe jang jiden paro jik desen den tunjen da jang cheju de runam punzo nimbashin so doctrine da.
Then the next verse. As when grain ripens into a bounty, even the creation of small merit leads in lives hereafter to great happiness, and will be immensely meaningful as well.
Okay, pet sungya atana to sin ja ati sare
kin here uses the yeah that's the analogy you know of how you know, one can get a bountiful harvest, you know, just from sowing a couple of grains, isn't it? How you can see this, you know, just from a couple of grains and you get this huge bountiful harvest. So likewise, you know, just from a small virtue, a small act of small virtuous action, how you know, one will experience a great positive result, happiness.
Та мидява чунжун инаян бонва такчуэ отиндэйшида тала тиндэй юнгуэ тиндэйсэрэ.
So by depending on these worldly examples, we should strive to develop an understanding of how karma increases, yeah, okay? Develop an understanding and conviction in this. Once we have developed the conviction, then we need to make a decision. The decision is this: even if it's a very small virtue, I must engage in it. And even if it is a very small non-virtue, I must strive to abandon it.
So this is a
difficult point to understand really how the karma magnifies and increases. Yeah. The point is, by using these examples, we try to as much as possible to overcome, to abandon even the slightest non-virtue, and to accumulate even the very small virtue. Yeah. How does karma multiply? We possess, you know, all the causes, you know, for fertilizing, you know, for enhancing these in the case of our non-virtue, you know we have all the afflictions such as attachment, anger and so forth. They are like the fertilizers, you know, that fuel the growth of the seeds of non-virtue, yeah, because they are always there, so you know they continuously, you know, make, you know, these seeds of non-virtue that we've really planted, we make them stronger and stronger. Yeah.
What did they do? That did they? We do. We now do. Condo is we now that. Then that did they? She has some of Tang Chu Yu Gre. We now do. Miche Da Ba Jila. That Jian Chung Chung Jigita. Condo is Lang Bai Na. Then that. Miche Tong Du Gana Nam San Di Ngar Ki Juan Di Chi Yong.
So I guess, if we think about this, from a worldly example, yeah. something that, which is our common experience. So sometimes, you know, due to a small, due to a specific small condition, then we may get upset with an individual, a specific individual, isn't it? Yeah. And then the event is over. But when we come into contact with that person, either by seeing that person or by hearing the person's or hearing about the person, again, we are reminded somehow all the our unhappiness with the person and the faults that we see in the person, all of these come to mind, isn't it? Yeah. And then, you know, we start thinking about that, this person did this, this person did that. Then, so you see the anger is always there to, to increase whatever unhappiness that we have with the person. Yeah. It's always there, isn't it? It's like fertilizing, like adding fuel to the fire that's already there. Yeah. So, but actually, right from the beginning, it was only perhaps a very small condition that caused us to be upset with the person. Yeah. That it might have been a very small condition, but with anger there as adding fuel to the fire, it becomes bigger and bigger. Yeah. So from this you can see from perhaps a small moment of anger when left unattended can become bigger and bigger. If right from the beginning, if one sought to, let's say, stop it, and try to do something about it, perhaps it will not grow. It will not grow at all, isn't it? Then it's done once and for all. Yeah. Because when it is left unattended, then things start to snowball. Yeah, until they become very big. But actually, from the beginning, it was perhaps it was something quite small. Yeah. And then from something small, and then it snowballs into something bigger and bigger, and then that causes more unhappiness, yeah, to oneself and then to others as well. Yeah. So in the case of non-virtue, I guess if you think about it in this way, you can see perhaps how non-virtue does magnify, isn't it? Because the causes for fueling the growth of non-virtue, our afflictions and anger and attachment are always there in the mind, isn't it? Yeah. So perhaps if you think about it along these lines, you can see how perhaps non-virtue can increase and really magnify. So, yes, if you think along these lines, and you can see how something small can cause, can magnify, can snowball into something big. Yeah? Just like ingesting a small amount of poison can actually kill a person in the end, isn't it? Yeah? So, with this understanding, then as much as possible, then we just try to abandon even the smallest and non-virtue.
Yeah.
And the opposite of this, the opposite of non-virtue is virtue, isn't it? Yeah. So it's a karma, and it is supposed to multiply as well, yeah, magnify. Yeah. But we really, I think, we have to figure out how that actually works. How can that actually work? I mean, in the case of non-virtue, it's pretty straightforward, yeah, because the causes for feeling the growth of non-virtue is there in the mind, you know. But for all of us, I mean, the causes for feeling the growth of our virtue is hardly there, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, otherwise, it's a completely different case. If you are, you're already on the path, let's say you have very good refuge in your minds, or you already have the bodhicitta, then of course, then it's not a problem. I mean, it's quite easy to explain how the virtues in those peoples are continually increase, yeah. But for us, so how do we explain that the virtues in our minds can actually increase? It's quite difficult, right? I think it's really difficult for us to explain coherently how, you know, the virtues in our mental continuum can actually increase, you know, on its own accord without doing anything from our side. You know. But basically, we have to think about it. But the point at the end of the day is still, when it comes to virtue, even if we cannot figure out why, how it increases, the point is, at the end of the day, you know, that with regards to virtue, then even if it's something small, we should engage in it. So if we try to pick out the workings of karma in terms of virtue increasing, magnifying, so if we cannot really figure out how it works, yeah, then for us, yeah, it's like basically we engage in something small, perhaps in Bukaulat. So perhaps the conclusion is that we really have to do more, yeah. Do something big, something powerful.
What in there shall tie in at this some time, that's also that for Java Pet, that Bena give it and give it, and it's because they pay shall say this some time, pay ten quota.
So yeah, so we have to think about how karma magnify, how it increases, and if we think that using these worldly examples, yeah, then you know there's something to think about, yeah.
Number 3, general characteristic 3.
Not experiencing the effects of the actions that you did not do.
Mm-hmm. dēmbē tsok tāngmē pa sāpē dēwō lā chōpa nām jī jāng dē jū tam jī sā mī gā jāng chō jī nā sā gō sō sē shī.
If you have not accumulated the karma that will become the cause for experiencing happiness or suffering, you will never experience the happiness or suffering that is the result. Also, those who enjoy the effects of the collections, the collection of merit accumulated by the teacher, the Buddha, you know. So for those who enjoy the effects of the teacher's accumulation, yeah, of merit, they do not need to accumulate all its causes. However, they need to accumulate a portion or part of them.
Leji masaba ina ani tewu nyuwa yuwa maris tate tu kandeji ina ya rangi wane leji sakwa ya leji masana ani tewu zawa nyuwa yuwa maris pena nganzu tindi ngura pena kaswara pena sanjegi ta kale kaje tamme sumu so sache ta sanjegi chazan dhubdebe pena sanjegi shim dhinzu yuwa rwa sanjegi shim ku sum tu chazan ta yu chazan sanjegi dhubne An chukja ba chagar ba. Tinte ki sanje ki sung long chue yungay la yu je bi ping mi duwa rangi ngone jang sunam sa kwa hai shi. La tonto ji sung mi duwa.
Shinzi na na takshin di.
Takshin na tutsu ji bari wata.
So
sanje ki ngone da chupsa di. Ju sazong zi na takpi shing la soba da chupsa di wa. Ina yang ti yu bi ping mi duwa. Tinte la long chue la rangi ngone le ji sa kwa hai shi. Shinzi da chupsa di.
If we did not accumulate the cause to experience either happiness or suffering, if we did not accumulate the cause, there's no way we will experience the effects, whether it's happiness or suffering. In terms of us enjoying and experiencing the benefits, you know, of the Buddha's accumulation of merit, yeah. In terms of that, yeah, we from our own side also need to have accumulated a cause to enjoy, you know. So from the Buddha's own side, the Buddha has his own pure body, speech, and mind. You know, from the own side, Buddhas do give teachings. And from the Buddha's own side, the Buddhas have established their pure lands here. Yeah. So they exist. But the mere fact that the Buddha's pure lands exist does not necessarily mean that everyone will get to enjoy it. We must have also accumulated the cause, the merit, the virtue from our side in order to be able to utilize it or to be able to go there.
What did the song and attendati? That tandati tandati in the middle of Moya, then the soft tongue of San Tandati. They were a long job of Namji Jan, T.U. Sang Mikoyans. Church Sakoso said it, but the song and Rosamata.
So I think this is what it's meant, whereby the line which says, you know, those who enjoy the teacher's accumulations of merit, yeah, need not have accumulated all the causes, but they do need to accumulate a portion. Then the fourth characteristic of karma, the actions you have done do not perish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is a quotation. So I'll just read from another translation. Okay, the Brahmins. So there's this quotation from this. So let's look at the verse from the King of Concentrations Sutra. Okay? It says, further, once you have committed an action, you will experience its effect. And you will not experience the effects of what others have done. Then the quotation from the basis of discipline, it says, even in 100 eons, karma does not perish. When the circumstances and the time arrive, beings surely feel its effects. Once a non-virtue is accumulated, if one does not purify that non-virtue through confession, let's say, that non-virtue, even in 100 eons later, which is an unbelievable long period of time, yeah, if you do nothing about it, still, after a very long period of time, it still exists. It does not disappear. And it will ripen. And when it ripens, then the result is suffering. In the case of a virtue, if it is not degenerated by other causes, if it is not weakened, that virtue will give rise to its effect, happiness, even after a very long period of time, such as 100 eons. Yeah. So these are the general characteristics of karma. So you have to remember these four points. Okay? Karma is certain. The magnification of karma. How you will not meet with the result of an action you did not create, and how the actions you have done does not perish. By thinking about the third and the fourth general characteristics of karma, isn't it? How one will not experience the effects of actions that one did not do, and how all the actions that one has done will not perish on its own accord. Yeah. By thinking about this, and then what kind of decision we should make. And then with regards to non-virtue,
we have to purify it through confession. And with respect to the virtue that we have already accumulated, we just have to try our best and engage in a different way, means and ways to ensure that these virtues that we have already accumulated do not degenerate or do not get destroyed by factors such as anger. Yeah. Okay? So basically, we just have to adopt correctly what needs to be adopted, and we need to abandon correctly what needs to be abandoned. Yeah. So the next section is on reflecting on the karma in detail. So basically there's the discussion on the 10 non-virtues. Okay, so you have to read it on your own, and if you read it, you basically understand it's quite straightforward. Yeah. So I will just mention a couple of things, because then, if you come to class and you have to read every single thing, it will take forever. Yeah. So you have to read, and then if there's anything that you need to be clarified, then you should bring it up in class, and that's the best way of moving forward. So because of my recent travels, which I had to undertake, without a choice, yeah. So there was some disruption to class, yeah. So let's see. I hope to finish the section on the paths of the person of small capacity, in the next two lessons, yeah. So let's see whether that will happen or not, yeah. So we will have class on Thursday and then next Tuesday also. And also, I think I'm going to do away with the exams on, which was originally scheduled for Sunday. Don't dare to rejoice, eh? Casey. Yeah, don't think.
That one is not good rejoice, bad rejoice. But that don't know what it is. That's also that you got so that they are combustion. That you die there, so that not young check, twinging it to juke the tangue, shabby came at it. Or so looking at it and twinging it to juke the tangue, shabby came at it.
The whole intention or the purpose behind an examination is just for you to revise, to look at your material, to study. No other reason. It is just a condition to it's a helps in our studies. So please keep in mind always that The point is not about whether there is an exam or not, you know. The thing to keep in mind always is that whether there's an exam or not, you know, we should as much as possible read and then think about the material, revise thing, you know, study, isn't it? Okay. So because today is it happens to be a Tibetan Eid, yeah. So we'll do the medicine Buddha puja.